This is Hal Hester, lead pastor of Vine Life, and this is our podcast, The Empowered Word. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective on what God is doing in your life. Please enjoy the message.
Good morning, everybody. How are you? Good. I'm glad one person's doing good. That's awesome. Good job, one person. Notes. Everybody got their notes? Everybody got their notes? We're looking. We got people in the back ready to hand notes out. If you're sitting there right now and you don't have notes and you're not saying anything, shame on you. God is watching you. There's a couple that raise their hand now that Jesus knows. Thank you. Appreciate it. You know I love my notes. You know I love my notes. Actually got my notes typed up a little early. I wasn't frantically typing them towards the end of the week. So that was a nice change. There should be pens. If you don't have a pen or something, there should be pens in the back of these seats in front of you. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jason Kaler. Hal is not here again today. Next week, he will be back. That is the word out, so please come back next week. He will be continuing in this series that we're working on in the book of Matthew. I teach school. I teach middle school Bible. Some of my family has joined me here this morning. My wife, my daughter, my son, my son-in-law. I have another son who lives in the area, and his fiance, and I have another son. It actually took my wife as well to do this. The oldest son was in New Zealand and Taiwan and back in China for a week and has finally come back to the United States. He is somewhere on the continent doing what he does. I think it's in Nashville at the moment. And so four children. I'm honored to have some of my family here today. I want to take a moment, though, and I want to pray for Hal and his family. I'm sure most of you know that his dad is struggling. I would like to lift that up. I would also just like to pray for Hal and Dawn as the leaders of this church, our shepherds, our pastors, watching over us. And so would you join me in praying for Dawn and Hal and their family? Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you have chosen to allow Hal and Dawn to minister to us in the way that they do as our pastors. Father, thank you. It is an honor. I pray that we would never take that lightly here at Vine Life, but we would honor them. We would uplift them. We would do everything in our power together to bring unity to this body. I know that one of the most difficult things in a pastor's life is division within the body. So, Father, I pray that we would do everything to bring peace, everything that is in our power to be at peace with one another as we minister to our community under Hal's leadership. I speak your blessing and your anointing over him, over his family. I pray specifically for his dad, for healing. In your name I pray. Amen. So we are moving through the book of Matthew. We are still in Matthew chapter 4. If you want to get there, whatever you have, Bible or phone or whatever, we are going to finish off chapter 4. Bobby did a great job last week taking us through the temptation, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Bobby spoke to who we are. If you were here last week, you remember that he talked about receiving nicknames that we don't like, and so being re-identified or rebranded by those around us or by things that we have done, but our identity is in Christ. He took us through the temptations, walked us through what Jesus did and how he walked that out. So this week I want to continue that by talking about why we are here. So last week was who you are, that is your being. This week I want to talk about why we are here, this is our doing. I would like to pray over this message, pray over you receiving it, and pray over me giving it. Heavenly Father, this is your word. This is your truth. Father, I cannot change hearts. Only you can. I know there is a great passion within you to draw near to us and have us draw near to you. Father, we believe that you don't do good, you are good. You don't do kindness, you are kindness. You don't do mercy, you are merciful. You don't do love, you are love. And I know for myself, I'm sure for all of us here, we need these things. We need you. So today, Father, as I expand on your word, Father, I pray that it would be you and not me. Again, I don't change hearts. I am not able to do that. The power of your spirit does that. So we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your power. We thank you that your word brings life and healing. And we receive those today. In your name I pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. So why are we here? Why are we here? Today, in this moment, why are you here at this church? Why are you here in general? Why am I here in general? Why Brooksville, Weekiwachee, Spring Hill, Zarek Town, Ridge Manor, Dade City, Citrus County? Why? Why are we here? Why are we here at this time, 2024? Why not 1924? Why not 1824? Why not 2124? Do you ever wonder about these things? Do these things ever roll through your mind? I don't know. I'm constantly, my mind is going a million miles a second all the time. It is extremely difficult for me to shut my mind down and to relax. I don't do that well. And this is one of the things that constantly is coming through my mind. Why here? Why now? Why in this moment? Why am I crossing paths with this person? Certainly there has to be something bigger than myself. So why are you here? Why are you with that particular person at work that you just can't stand? Why? How about that boss? And I know we live in America, right? And we can go and do whatever we want and vote our leaders out and switch our jobs and move our places. And you know that Florida is one of the most transient states in the union, probably the most transient state in the union, not only moving in and out of the state of Florida, but moving within the state of Florida. We are movers. We don't like it. We don't think we're getting what we deserve. We move. Why are you here? Is it something bigger than you? How about your neighbor? Would you like them to move? Do you remind them every day that Florida's a transient state? Why are they still here? Why are you in the family that you're in? Now I'm meddling a little bit, probably. Mom and dad. Why did God choose to give you the mom and dad he gave you? Siblings. I have three siblings. One of my siblings, myself and the other two, we are estranged from. It's terrible. It's not good. It's not right. It's hard. Why? Look around you at this church right now. Don't look at the person right next to you. It's okay. I know it's creepy during the service to turn around and look at the people behind you. Like, what are you doing? Why? But go ahead. Go ahead and look around. Do you know 2, 3, 4 rows behind you? Do you recognize those people? Why are you here? Why are you here? All of a sudden, people are waving. I haven't seen you in forever. Hey, what's going on? I want to ask this question of you that Hal asked of us, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago at the end of one of his messages here in the book of Matthew. And this whole idea of who you are, who are you, that was Bobby last week, me this week, why are we here? And processing this and identifying ourselves in Christ. And so therefore, why am I here in this day and age? Why am I here in this town? Why? What is going on? There has to be something here. This was the question that Hal asked a few weeks ago. He said, so what is it? That's the theme of this series. Jesus is it. So what is it that is keeping you from doing the will of God right here, right now? My mom had a couple it's towards the end of her life. My mom had Parkinson's. In the early stages, in her early 50s when it got diagnosed, in the early stages it wasn't that bad, but if you know of anyone who has Parkinson's disease, you know that it is a long and very debilitating disease. Michael J. Fox has it. Muhammad Ali. By the time my dad passed away, and my dad was supposed to live forever. He was a man's man, healthy beyond measure. Nothing could stop him except cancer. And when my dad passed away, he and my mom were 68 years old. So my mom was pretty deep into the Parkinson's. She had expected my dad to be here till her end and take care of her. And all of a sudden, he was gone. My dad was in charge. He was the president of a homeless shelter. My dad was the president of everything, pretty much. But he was the president of a homeless shelter. When my dad passed away, about a month or two down the road, my mom calls me. You know, you gotta. She was in her early 50s when she got diagnosed with the Parkinson's. Now she's 68. Moving on to 69. She's only going to be here for a couple more years before she passes away from the Parkinson's. And she calls me. My mom, who has entrusted these last years of her life to her husband, who is strong and going to take care of her, and therefore has entrusted to God, who has given her this husband, and blah, 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 and now it's gone. And she calls me a couple months after my dad passed away, and she said, Jason, she said, I have a choice to make. She said, I can sit in my chair, and I can draw my drapes, and I can drown in my loneliness. I can drown in my misery. I can drown in my Parkinson's, and no one would begrudge me. No one. She said, but tomorrow morning I'm going to get up, because there are no more excuses. I'm not going to let any more it's in my life excuse me from the will of God. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and I'm going to go to that homeless shelter that your dad was the president of, and I'm going to make breakfast for those homeless people and I'm going to serve them. And I ask you, and I ask me, why are you here? Why am I here? What is the it in your life that is slowing you down or stopping you from doing the will of God? Because He has put you here. He has given you identity. He has given you the reason of why you are here. So my mom got up that next morning and she drove. And she got into that kitchen, all of her shaking and tremoring that she was doing. And she made breakfast with three or four other people. And then she went out to the tables where the homeless people were, and she sat down with them, and she ate breakfast with them. And she ministered to them because she knew who she was, and she knew why she was here. She did that for a number of months, actually, I think almost for a year, until she just couldn't drive anymore because the tremors had gotten so bad. She really wasn't being helpful in the kitchen anymore because she was just spilling things, but she would still go in every once in a while, and she would sit with them, and she would talk with the homeless people, and she would minister Jesus. Because it was in Jesus that she got her identity, and it was through Father God that she knew why she was there. You've heard me tell many stories of my dad. And I loved him dearly, and he was my hero. But I do not ever want to shortchange my mom, because she was a powerful woman of God who stood up for what she knew. Jesus Is It is the series theme, is the series title. In Matthew chapter 3, Pastor Hal took us through John the Baptizer, attesting to it. Last week at the beginning of Matthew chapter 4, Bobby walked us through Satan's temptations as Satan tested it. And so today, now I want to pick up in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 12, and I want to talk about this idea. Will these people then truly come and follow it? The title of my message there at the top of your notes. Whoa. The top of your notes. The Call of the King. Why are you here? Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse number 12. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It will also be New Living Translation up on the screen behind me. Please follow along if you have your Bibles open. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and he returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth and then went from there and moved to Capernaum beside the Sea of Galilee in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. And this fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah. In the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. For those who have lived in the land where death has cast its shadow, a light has shined. From then on, Jesus began preaching, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. And Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, he saw two more brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets, and he called to them as well. And they immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news of the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick, whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed, epileptic, or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, from all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River. The overriding theme that runs through the life of Jesus was his concern for how he might demonstrate the existence of God, the God of love, and make it possible for people to know the love of God. One of my favorite sayings, and before we fill in any of our notes, one of my favorite sayings is, "The truth that you know sets you free." When Jesus made that quote, he didn't say the truth sets you free. He said the truth that you know sets you free. So what I would like you to do, first off, before we fill in anything, go to the back, down at the bottom, take your pen, your pencil, whatever you're using, and I want you to write that down. One of Jason's favorite sayings, and I'm going to say it again, and you can write down one of Jason's favorite sayings if you would like to. The truth that you know sets you free. Jesus did not say that the truth sets you free. He said that the truth that you know sets you free. So one of the main themes, if not the main theme, running through his life was his concern that he might demonstrate the existence of the God of love and make it possible for people to know the love of God. If you walk away with nothing else today from this message, you don't remember anything else specifically, though I'm going to say again and again and again and again, why are you here? So you'll probably remember that. I want you to think of this theme, process this theme as you walk through your days. It's up there at the top of your notes. Jesus is the greatest love story ever told. Jesus is the greatest love story ever told. Jesus is it. He is the greatest love story ever told. And is that not the whole point of the story? It's not about us going to live with God, though I know in the by and by we're going to get to heaven, whatever that means and whatever that looks like, in the presence of God for all eternity. But is not the story really about God coming to live with us? For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his son. He, God, came to earth. This love story is about God coming to us and being with us. It's about God living in you, God living in me, Jesus living in us, the Holy Spirit living in us. This is our being. This is what Bobby talked about last week, this being. This is who we are, God living in us, the Messiah living in us, the Holy Spirit empowering us to do the things that he's called us to do, which then leads us to not only in us, but through us. That is our doing. Why are you here? Why are you here? But I'm getting ahead of myself, actually, to point number three in my notes, so we need to back up a little bit to point number one. Point number one, the notes filled in are going to come unless you've already filled the whole paper in. Anybody done that? Go ahead. You ultra-driven, get all the right answer, people. Don't be shy. You already filled it in. For those of us that haven't, number one. Number one, it'll come up here on the screen. He fulfilled Old Testament prophecy. When Jesus had heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea, went to Galilee, returned to Galilee, and went to Nazareth, which was his hometown, by the way. Many believe, verse number 13, this going back to Nazareth and then immediately moving on and moving to Capernaum. They believe that this is the story in Luke where they take him up to the cliff and almost push him over, the people of his own hometown, because he reads in the synagogue. And today this has been fulfilled, and they totally get offended because it's Joseph's son. That's what many believe is happening right here, this go back home and then immediately leaving. He goes down to Capernaum beside the sea, Zebulun, Naphtali. Verses 15 and 16, then he is fulfilling Scripture. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Those who sit in the shadow cast by death, a light has shined. Jesus comes out of the wilderness. He comes out of the temptation. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, do this, prove yourself. Jesus doesn't have anything to prove. How many of you feel like the enemy is sometimes saying to you, if you are a child of God, if you have conquered these things? One of my greatest fears is the fear of failure. Isn't it ironic then this morning that I'm sitting on the front row guarding my heart against fear of failure and not doing a very good job? Because it's the enemy. It's the enemy trying to trick me, trying to deceive me into questioning who I am. So Jesus comes out of the wilderness. He comes out of the temptation, ready to go. He knows who he is. The voice from heaven has said it, and he begins his ministry to demonstrate the kingdom of God. That's his ministry, so that people will know that God is love. Jesus came to bring hope where there is hopelessness. Jesus came to bring healing where there is brokenness, kindness where there is only meanness, goodness where there is bad, love where there is hate, and what we're reading right here, light into the darkness. Jesus is not a light. Jesus is the light. He is it. Do you know why you're here? Why are you here? Jesus is it. He knows that. He proclaims that. He has bought you with a tremendous price. And so are you letting your light shine among men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven? Why are you here? Why are you here now? Why are you here in general? Why are you at that workplace? Why are you at that grocery store at that moment? Why did you go to Publix instead of Walmart? Oh, come on, Jason. It can't be that specific. I don't know. We serve the God of the universe. Why not? Well, I just came to get a sub and some chips. That's what you think. Leads me to number two. From then on, he is fulfilling Old Testament scripture. He is fulfilling the prophecies. He is the Son of God. He is the light. And so from then on, verse number 17, from then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent. Here comes some more blanks besides from then. You saw that one. Here's some other blanks. Repent. Confess. Turn around, you weary wanderer. Turn to the God of love. This is the message of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is now. It is at hand. It is upon you. And Jesus is the powerful King. Why are you here? He's calling. He's calling to you. He's calling to me. Well, I already answered that call, Jason, when I got saved. Listen, salvation is a lifelong process. I understand that we do this little prayer at Vacation Bible School or something, and I don't mean to minimize that. But ladies and gentlemen, that is only the first little tiny step into this idea of salvation. Salvation is lifelong as he continues to transform us into the image of his Son. You see, because here's what I know, here's what I do, here's what I see done. Is that we say our prayer, our little prayer of salvation, and then we wipe our brow and go, whoo, I'm going to heaven. I'm good. And sure, I guess you are, whatever heaven is, whatever that means. But isn't this love story not about us eventually going to be with God, but with God coming to be with us right now? Is that not the love story? Is that not what all of this is about? So why are you here? Why are you in the neighborhood that you're in? Why are you in the community that you're in? Why are you in this church? Why did God choose your family? And the list goes on. This leads me to number three in our notes. Number three, come, follow me, and I will teach you how to fish for people. Why are you here? Do I love me a pub sub? Absolutely. But guess what? There's somebody making that pub sub for me. Sometimes it's my son who works at the deli, and you know, that's an easy talk to. But guess what? There's sometimes somebody else who's making my pub sub. Am I to engage that person? Absolutely. Am I to encourage that person? Absolutely. Am I to bring light into that person's darkness, joy into that person's misery, hope into that person's hopelessness? Yes, 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 yes. Because we know who we are. We're in Christ. We've been healed. Light has come into our darkness. Hope has come into our hopelessness. That's why we're here. Wow, Jason, I don't feel very healed. Oh, okay, all right, I'll go there with you. I sat right there on that front row this morning during the worship time and battled things of insecurity and fears of failure. It's been my life. But I'm not going to let it win. Now, when I came down off the stage to go get the water, I thought about just continuing to walk it right out the door. Satan said, see, you can't even remember your own water. I'm teasing. He did not say that. One day as Jesus was walking down the shore of the Sea of Galilee, verse number 18, he sees two brothers, Peter and Andrew, throwing nets in the water, for they fished for a living. Don't miss that. They're not weekend fishermen. This is what they do for a living. And he says, come and follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. I will teach you. And they left their nets at once and followed him. Further up the shore, there's James and John sitting in the boat with their father Zebedee. mending and doing whatever they're doing. And Jesus says to them as well, follow me. And immediately they leave the boat. Jesus is the call. Everything rises and falls on Jesus. From Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation, everything rises and falls on Jesus. He is the call. Follow me. They're fishing. They're leaving. They're following him. Follow me is another way to say discipleship. I hope that you hear that word every time Hal says it, because he says it a lot. Discipleship, discipleship, discipleship. Go into all the world and make Christians? That's not what it says, does it? Go into all the world and make disciples. Follow me is another way to say discipleship. This is the call. Discipleship to what? Why are we here? So that we know the Bible a little bit better? So that we come on Sunday mornings, but then have checked out by Sunday afternoon? Why are we here? We are here to, by faith, share this Jesus who is it, the good news, the light of the world with people. You and I have been called to follow the King, not to follow a bunch of rules. I'm so sick and tired of rules. I'm so sick and tired of religiosity. I'm so sick and tired of the people who follow the rules and make sure that everybody else follows the rules. That's not what we've been called to. We have not been called to follow some good advice, though it is good advice. We can't deny that, right? If we would just do some of this stuff, man, it might work. But that's not why we've been called. I do this to my kids all the time in my class. I go, you know, it's not about, we're just going to try a little harder. I messed up, Mr. Caleb, but I'm going to try a little harder. Man, that's a long, miserable life to just keep trying a little harder. Why not get on our knees before the Creator and say, God, you are in me. You are empowering me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to do what you've called me to do, because I know who I am. And Jesus, you are it. You are everything. Everything rises and falls on you. Jesus is the good news. I say that with my kids 1,000 times in the year. Jesus didn't come to proclaim the good news. Jesus is the good news. Jesus is it. We are called to follow the good news and demonstrate that good news. Demonstrate that good news so that unbelievers will experience the God of love, because God is love, and hopefully choose then to answer that call themselves. To answer that call themselves, why are you here? My dad had a fellow administrator. My dad had a fellow administrator that he became friends with and ministered to and loved on. They became great friends. My dad did not ever cease to continue to minister the word of God to him. My dad passed away, and I'm talking 20, 30 years probably. My dad passed away without seeing that gentleman come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, today I still know Mr. Baroni, Steve Baroni is his name. How does a child remember one of his dad's friends? Because my dad talked about it all the time. Because my dad prayed for him all the time. Because my dad ministered to him all the time. And went fishing with him, and hiking, and bike riding, and whatever all else. But he never stopped. Because my dad knew that what this gentleman, what his friend was missing, was everything that my dad had. Because Jesus is it. Number four. So he's got his disciples. He is discipling them. He is teaching them. He is sending them out. Large crowds are following him. Large crowds followed him. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom, and he healed every kind of disease. You might say, Jason, didn't you just say that he wasn't out proclaiming? I want you to read that. I don't know how it reads in your translation specifically, verse 23. He taught, he announced, and he healed. Then he is proclaiming that he is it. He's not just talking a game and then hopefully people. No, he is in the midst of these people, talking, telling, teaching, and healing them. Demonstrating to them. Helping them to experience the love of God. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria. And people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed, epileptic, or paralyzed, he healed them all. Verse 25, and large crowds followed him wherever he went. People from Galilee, 10 towns, Jerusalem, Judea, and east of the Jordan River. Jesus immediately begins teaching. He begins discipling his disciples and bringing more people in. Jesus is, here's more notes, here's more fill-ins. Jesus is healing. He is healing to demonstrate the existence of a God of love so that people can know the love of God. Jesus is love. Jesus is announcing the good news. Jesus is the good news. So why are you here? Why are you here? I'm going to give you 9 reasons. You ready? Don't try to write these down. Why are you here? You are here to bring love into a world filled with hate. You are here to bring joy into a world filled with misery and sadness. You are here to bring peace into a world of chaos. You are here to bring patience into a world filled with short tempers and impatience. You are here to bring kindness into a world filled with meanness. You are here to bring goodness into a world filled with bad. You are here to bring faithfulness into a world that is unfaithful and unloyal. You are here to bring gentleness into a world filled with harsh, stern, and abrasive people. You are here to bring self-control into a world filled with self-gratification and selfish ambition. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I got that from the Bible. That's why you're here. And I would hope and I would pray that every time you think about those, you immediately think about what you're bringing that light into. And the people who sat in darkness saw a great light. Those who sat in death's shadow, man, he beat death. We have beaten death because of him. Why are you here? Well, I'm just trying to get through the day. What? What are you talking about? You're a Bible-believing, God-fearing child of the Creator. What do you mean you're just trying to get through the day? Now listen, I don't mean, don't anybody be like, oh my gosh, he just made fun of me. I feel that way some days too. Good night almighty, I teach middle schoolers 5 days a week. Every period I have to open my door and put the desk outside my door to let fresh air in. It stinks. It gets overwhelming. So I don't mean to, but what I need to say to you is, listen, I sit right there before this service starts and I battle. You are going to fail. You are not going to pull this off. There are going to be people that are going to walk out. I have no idea what that guy just said. I felt like I was in the Peanuts comic with the teacher talking. Wah, 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 wah. That's what I battle in the middle of that. Please hear me that I battle it. Because the truth that I know sets me free. And I only want to become more and more passionate about bringing love into a world that hates, bringing joy into a world that is only filled with misery and sadness. Do you understand that at that school that I teach at, that school for some of those kids is the safest place for them? I hate being at school. No, you don't. You love being here because it's a safe place. I am still tripping up on these 9 things. I'm still tripping up. I acknowledged the call when I was 7 years old. My mother led me to the Lord Jesus Christ sitting at a kitchen table in Peru. Seven, I'm 54. This has been a lifelong process of salvation. So anytime that I trip, anytime that I fall, by faith, by the grace of God, I'm going to get back up. It is by faith that we are answering this call. It is by faith that we know why we are here. And we get right back up in the enemy's face when he says, oh, so you think you are? Yes, I know that I am. I'm a child of the Most High. And the truth that I know, that sets me free. Satan, you no longer have hold over me. You are defeated. And for a time, you may run amok and do all this junk, but with everything that I have, I'm going to fight it. I'm going to bring love where there is hate. I'm going to bring joy where there's misery. I'm going to bring peace where there's chaos. Because I know who I am, and I know why I'm here. Do you? Do you know why you are here? Yet there are times where we lose track. We lose track of who we are. And therefore then we lose track and we lose sight of why we're here. And instead of fulfilling the call, we fight with Jesus and we scrap with Jesus and we pull away from Jesus and we run for the hills and we doubt and we lose our faith. But Jesus stands firm because he is the constant, because Jesus is it. Jesus is it. So what do we do? What do we do? I don't ever want to end a message by having you walk out of this building going, well, I don't really know what I should do. If you do that, then that's on you. Because I'm going to give you something to do. Get ready for the test. That's what I say. No, seriously, there will be no test. But on the back of your notes, there's a go and do. On the back of your notes, there is a confession. Confession to ourself. A confession to each other, a confession to the one who has called us, and a confession to the enemy. And I want to do this with you. And I walk through this with you. Would you turn your notes over to the back? Would you please stand? So here's your go and do. It's written right there. You got it? You looking at it? I'm going to read this to you. We're going to do the confession together, but I want to read the go and do first. So in faith, are you fulfilling the call to shine the light of your powerful King by daily, purposefully loving the people around you into the healing arms of Jesus, who is the good news? Remember, Jesus is it. Or are you out of faith because you've allowed Satan to distract you from who you are, your being, and thus you have found yourself distracted from why you are here? You're doing. I need my altar team to come into the altar, please. If you are an altar team today, would you please come into the altar at this time? Together, we are going to read this confession. I want us to read it out loud. If you want to just kind of whisper it, okay. I'm not going to encourage you to shout it, but I want you to say it. We're confessing this to ourselves. We're confessing this to each other. We are confessing this to the one who has called us. And we're confessing it to our enemy, who is constantly looking to derail us, get us off track, cause us to forget who we are and therefore lose sight of why we're here. You ready? The confession. Whew! I confess that I live in faith. Although Satan tries to use situations to distract me and dissuade me from staying in faith, I have resolved that I am never moving away from who God has called me to be, thus losing the focus of why I am here. I will never relinquish the call he has put in my heart. I will use my faith to remain in his light. I will be steadfast, unwavering, and committed to seeing his call come to pass in my life. Because I have made this decision, I am a person who pleases God. I declare this by faith in Jesus' name. If you have not answered the call, you are standing here today realizing that you are not a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have not accepted his forgiveness. You have not asked to be forgiven. You are not a child of God. You have been created by God, but you are not a child of God because you have not accepted his son. Then first and foremost, I need to encourage you to do that today. Accept the call. He is calling to you. Come follow me. Come follow me, and I will teach you, and I will show you. I will disciple you. If you've not asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, then I want to encourage you, when these lights go down and I'm done praying, to come into this altar. These people would relish the opportunity to lead you into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if my mind serves me correct in this arena, the vast majority of us here are probably consider ourselves to be saved, consider ourselves to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I dare say that if we were to go and be honest with each other, accountable to each other concerning last week's message and this week's message, we have lost sight, we've lost track of who we are, and therefore we have lost sight of why we're here. And maybe you're struggling, maybe you have some fears, maybe you have some letdowns in your life, and you're like, man, I just need to get in for some prayer. I just need to remember who I am. Then I would encourage you to come. If you're standing out there right now and you are saying, well, yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about, that person at work, that neighbor, that family member, that I have chosen to not fulfill the call, to shine the light, to bring the hope, to bring the healing, to bring the love, and I need to get back on track, I would encourage you to come in and ask for prayer. You don't need to do that. I would encourage you to, but you can turn to the people right around you, somebody you're with, and say, listen, you know this person, and you know I struggle with them, but God loves them more than I could ever comprehend, and I'm here to bring the love of Jesus. Go ahead and turn the lights off, please. I'm going to go ahead and pray us out. If you're going to not come into the altar and you want a fellowship and whatever, I would ask you to do that out in the lobby so we can leave this area quiet for prayer time. Would you join me in praying? Creator God, it is overwhelming to think about how much you love. In fact, beyond overwhelming, honestly, we cannot comprehend how much you love us. It is impossible. Scripture even says that to understand the love of Jesus is impossible. It is so big, so wide, so magnanimous. But Heavenly Father, I believe little bit, you can reveal to us how much you love us. You empower us to know that, to recognize that. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for calling us. I confess that I have been called by you to do great and mighty things in your name. And so I rebuke over myself and anyone in here any of the tricks and the lies and the schemes of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, they are falling away. Boldness is entering into this place so that we will shine a light into dark place. We will bring hope where there is hopelessness. We'll bring love where there is hate. We'll bring kindness where there is only meanness. We'll bring faithfulness where there is no faithfulness, where unloyalty runs rampant. That is who we are. That is what we do. In your precious name I pray, and everybody said, amen and amen. If you're going to fellowship, I ask that you would do that out in the lobby and leave quietly, please. If you need to come into the altar for anything, please feel free to do that.
I hope you enjoyed our podcast today. If you did, there's two things you could do for me. First, subscribe to our channel. That way the most recent podcast will always be in your feed, ready when you are. And secondly, if this ministry has impacted you, would you help us to continue to reach others by clicking on the link in the description to give now? Until next time, thank you so much for listening to The Empowered Word.